Thank you very much for those readings. If you weren't aware, we've just done Genesis, Exodus, and the book of Joshua. By faith, by faith, by faith. What's it all about? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our ears and eyes and our hearts and minds be open to all that you wish us to know and learn by your word and through your spirit. Amen. By faith. By faith. We've just read about a whole bunch of Old Testament heroes, and they're given as examples of faith. Examples of people who lived and died in faith. What is this faith? Well, if you believe some of the detractors in our culture, particularly the new atheists, you might think that faith and reason are opposed. And you might even think that faith is blind optimism, simple thinking, believing something without evidence, and not a match for lofty reason. But if you think that, you've fallen into their very trap. So the first thing I want to do tonight is dispel the myth that faith and reason are opposed, because that is a lie that hides deep truth. It's one of the great lies in our culture. Faith is not blind optimism. It's a response to both evidence and experience. It's a response to witness and testimony. It's a response to God's actions and ultimately to God's love. You see, coming to faith involves, for many people, and maybe for you, questions, the evaluation of evidence, the open-minded exploration of the Bible, and even the created order, to evaluate God, to investigate evidence for the resurrection and the reality of God's promises. So reason is not opposed to faith, and faith is not the poor relative of reason. Faith and reason are complementary. The real debate today is not between faith and reason, as some would have you believe, but between worldviews, between naturalism and theism. And it's the new atheists' faith in naturalism that leads them to ridicule our faith in God as blind optimism. Just think about that for a moment. If you don't get the irony of that and the illogicality of their position, then let me just say it once more. It's the new atheists' faith in naturalism that leads them to ridicule our faith in God as blind optimism. Yes, they actually undermine their own position. They're utterly illogical. Faith is not blind. As Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. But it's firmly planted on the rock of God, on the reasoned evaluation of God's promises, of experience of God, and of witness and evidence, and ultimately, it's planted on God's grace and love. So having dispelled the misconception that faith is blind and a poor relation to reason, let's briefly consider just how big a part faith plays in our everyday lives, whether you realise it or not, and whether you believe in God or not. You see, we go through our lives putting faith in many things along the way. You might have heard the hotly debated statement that we have faith that the sun will rise, each day. But there are plenty more examples. Think about traffic lights. It's something earthy that we come across frequently. We have faith in traffic lights, don't we? We have faith that they're in a sequence that will prevent collisions. And we have faith that other drivers will follow the lights, most of the time, we hope. If we didn't have faith in traffic lights, we would either be completely inert, we wouldn't move, or we'd be taking risks and perhaps putting our own lives and the lives of others at risk. Now, if you don't believe me, just think to the last time you were stuck at a set of temporary traffic lights that never seemed to change. Hands up if you've had that experience. Yeah, over half of us. I've even had it recently in Callow Hill. You sit there and sit there and sit there, don't you? They're still red. Oh, they're stuck. Oh, shall I go? I've seen drivers go and meet cars coming the opposite direction. Thankfully, both had good brakes. But you get the point. And there are many other examples. Maybe this isn't such a good example. I have faith that the trains will run each day and get me to work. Perhaps not the best example. But faith does play a big part in our lives. Faith that things are reliable, are repeatable, and that people will cooperate and so on. So what's special about faith in this passage? By faith, by faith, by faith. What's special about the faith of the people mentioned here? Well, let's cut to the chase. It's special because it's not just a cerebral assent to a belief. The examples of faith given in this passage are active responses. Intentional obedience that results in actions that affects decisions, that shapes lives. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain. By faith, Noah built an ark to save his family. Now, hands up who's seen that movie, Evan Almighty. Yeah, a few of you. Yeah, it's a great example, isn't it? It's a humorous translation of the story, but it really does get over that sense of just how countercultural Noah must have been. If you haven't seen it, then it's good fun homework to watch. It's a modern retelling of the Noah story, a US senator or congressman having to build an ark. God tells him to, and you have to see it. It's great fun. But the point is, they went against the flow of culture because of their faith. And by faith, Abraham obeyed and went on a journey with God, even though he didn't know where he was going. And so on. This isn't blind faith or passive faith. It's obedient, responsive faith in the living God. And it's not temporary faith for an event or a season. It's eternal faith in the eternal promises of the living God. Now, we could spend months of Sundays unpacking these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, but I'm not going to. Instead, I encourage you to read about them. And if you're not reading the Bible regularly, then consider a plan such as the Bible in 1 year. I know some of you do it. I do it. It's a great app. You can have it on your phone. You can read it on the train. You can read it on your way to and from work. You can listen to it. It's a really good way of going through the Bible in a year. Read about these heroes and heroines of faith, and you'll discover a whole range of people with a range of ages, in a range of eras, and in a range of contexts. They're not perfect. They have flaws, and they suffer failures and setbacks. But the flavor of their lives is of faith. They're imperfect, like you and I. But that's what makes them interesting. And there's likely to be at least one of them amongst that list that we can each relate to, whether a wayward leader, a childless adult, a refugee, a wandering octogenarian, and so on. They listened to God. They sought God. They followed God. And they obeyed God, even against the grain of their culture. They lived beyond their circumstances for someone bigger, for something bigger. They followed God, even though they didn't receive the ultimate promise in their lifetime. They were faithful and helped pave the way for God's plans and purposes. And this passage in Hebrews 11 is, among other things, an encouragement to some of the early Jewish Christian believers, an encouragement to persevere, to stay true, and to remain heirs of God's promise, rather than going back to their old ways. In the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of persecution, some of them were looking back to Judaism. But this passage in the letter to the Hebrews points them forward, reminding them that actually the great heroes of the Jewish faith were all looking forward to the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise. And spoiler alert, if you've not already worked it out, that ultimate fulfillment is in and through Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It keeps pointing to Jesus as the ultimate and perfect high priest and the ultimate revelation of God's love and mercy. And these heroes and heroines of Hebrews 11, yeah, they had the same temptations that we have for money, for power, for self, for comfort. But they chose to live faithfully. And even in the midst of that, some of them failed badly. But they continue to seek God in, through, and beyond their failures. Abraham, he tried to force God's promise through his own actions. And he laughed at God's promise of a son because Abraham and his wife were so old. David committed adultery and murder and tried to cover it all up. Samson forgot God. And so on. They were imperfect, but in the middle of their muddles and the messiness of life, they found God, they sought God, they wanted more. They lived for God and found meaning living and walking with God, even though God's ultimate promises to them were in the future. Now let's flip that over and think about ourselves. We are subject to all kinds of temptations and distractions and challenges. And like these great heroes of the faith, we are surrounded by a culture that doesn't honour God. It's easy to forget God, isn't it? To overlook God, to be distracted from God through the busyness of life, through our pursuits, our hobbies. How do you deal with the problems you face, with the questions of everyday life, with temptations, with distractions? What's our focus? Who or what do you look to daily? Is it yourself? Your friends? Your investment manager, social media, a YouTube influencer. We keep seeing them popping up even in the news, BBC and so on. Yeah. People with 250,000, 500,000, 1,000,000 plus followers, giving guidance in life. Do you look to self-help gurus or motivational speakers? Do you indulge in a kind of pick-and-mix spirituality? Take the bits you like, the bits that kind of feel good. Or do we look to the eternal living God who's acted through history and continues to call us to join him in his eternal adventure? Let me ask that difficult question a slightly different way. Do we allow our knowledge, our capabilities, our culture, and even our circumstances to dictate our response to life and adversity? Or does our faith guide us in how we respond? And coming full circle to something I said very early on, even if we have faith, is our faith in our head or in our heart? Is our faith just belief, giving assent to the Bible, to the creeds, to some doctrines? Or do we act on it and live out of it? Are we living faith secondhand, or are we living it with God? You can have a faith purely studying and understanding, but that's just the start. To truly live faith means that God shapes it and dictates our actions. Let's go back to the traffic lights. A theoretical understanding of traffic lights will not save my life, but following them will. A theoretical understanding of the Bible will not put me in relationship with God. It might get me a theology degree or two, but it's not going to give me the joy and adventure of a life walked with God. John Piper asks even more challenging questions. Do we receive Jesus Christ as supremely valuable, or just a sin forgiver because we like being guilt-free? As Lord of history because we want order and purpose? Or as prosperity giver because we want wealth? Do we prize Jesus? Do we cherish the gospel message that we've been given? Do we delight in Jesus? Does our faith in Jesus bring about change in our lives, in our actions, in our decisions, in our direction? You see, the faith being described here in Hebrews 11 is not passive. It's not just intellectual assent, and it's not private faith either. Like that well-known passage in James 2, Hebrews 11 affirms that faith is more than just assent. And if you're not familiar with James 2, then make a note of that. That's another wee bit of homework. Faith, living faith, is active, dynamic, and responsive. It's real, obedient, and vigorous. It's energetic. But there's another element here which kept coming back to me as I was preparing and meditating and praying through this. Faith is a response in love and gratitude to the promises and love of God. Are we walking in the love of God? Are we receiving the love of God? Are we letting God's love work in us? Are we responding to the love of God? That love is what we're invited to participate in and to share with others. So truly having faith is not just believing, but being willing to listen and follow what God is asking of us. Faith, by its very nature, is not dormant. It's alive. It births us anew. Through faith, we are born again. Through faith, we are a new creation in Christ. So are we responding in act of love, in act of faith? Or are we just more concerned with what others think? Whose approval do we seek? The world around us or God? And the point of this passage in Hebrews is that people responding in faith laid the groundwork for God's plan, for the nation of Israel to be born, and paved the way for the Messiah to be born. God's plans are worked out through those who work with God, who allow him to work through them. What are we doing to let God work his plans out in our generation, in our culture? Yes, our culture, our world has a low estimate of faith. It had a low estimate back in the culture and world of these heroes in Hebrews 11, and it's a low estimate now. But that's the world's estimate and the world's scales. God's estimate and God's scales are vastly different. And as so often, we find ourselves in a conflict between the values of now, the values of our culture, and the values of eternity, the values of God's kingdom. Now, we do need to be careful when I emphasise the difference between the world and our faith. This is not a licence for us to stand in a box and judge our culture. Let's let God be the judge. And us be faithful. But it is an encouragement to us to walk faithfully with God, closely with God. And you don't know right now what God will do through you. Abraham was a very old man when God gave him the promise. Moses was 80 when he was called to lead the Hebrews out of slavery. So that makes many of us mere infants in the faith. On the other hand, David was a child when he took on Goliath in faith. And Mary was a mere teenager when she responded to God's call. So it's never too early or too late to start walking intentionally with God in faith. But how do we do it? How do we let faith be the dominant factor in our lives, in our decisions? How do we keep focused on God in a culture that's powering along in its own direction, that doesn't value faith, and that only really talks about faith as a private pursuit of individuals? In a culture that is actually sometimes ideologically hostile to the Christian faith, how do we live responsively, faithfully, and actively? Well, I've got a few takeaways for us. One, firstly, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, etc., they didn't have it all worked out. Each day, they had to choose to step out in faith. They didn't know how their lives were going to work out. They didn't know that they were going to be memorialised in a book and it did speak through time. We have the benefit, looking back, to see that faith was a dominant factor in their lives. But for them, it was a daily stepping out, a daily choice, stepping out in faith with God. Do we have a daily habit of choosing to walk with God? And secondly, and interestingly, many of these heroes of the faith didn't have the scriptures we have today. Some of them had the law, the first five books, but many didn't. However, they had a living relationship with God. And that underlines the priority of a daily walk with God. Faith is about a daily relationship with the living God. Walking in prayer with God, looking for God, listening for God, seeking God, and obeying God. Do we have a daily habit of praying to God? Thirdly, we should use the resources we've been given. We have this wonderful book. It's a window into God's actions in history and beyond. And it's also a story of faithful and unfaithful people. Read it, meditate on it, learn from it, and let it soak into us. Let it lead us into a deeper relationship with God. Do we have a daily habit of reading our Bibles? And fourthly, we also have the benefit of living on the other side of the cross. We have the benefit of the Gospels and the resurrection. The fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus. So how much more ought we be able to step out in faith? Do we have a daily habit of rejoicing in the resurrection? Walking with God, praying to God, reading our Bibles, rejoicing in God. And sometimes being faithful can even seem to be counterintuitive. It can seem to be backwards. And I'll bring us towards the end just with a very interesting example of stepping out in faith. And the reminder that faith is not about the values of this world. It's not just about success, but it's about being faithful. Are you all familiar with Soul Survivor? No one's heard of Soul Survivor. Yeah, I think most of you have heard of Soul Survivor. Meets up in Watford, some great music, some great summer conferences. Well, in the late 1990s, very successful church, and it remains a very successful church. They were growing. Their music was appreciated and sung nationwide and even worldwide. They had a great influence. But there was something not quite right. There was a spiritual conviction that something just wasn't right. And so eventually the pastor, Mike Pilavachi, asked the congregation what they were bringing to worship, or if they were just coming to consume. A very brave question. A brave question for a pastor in a growing church to ask could be taken as an antagonistic question. They stripped out every diversion and distraction. They stripped out the lights, the sound system, the music. They went right back to a very, very simple service. And initially, it was, by their own account, an embarrassing silence. But eventually, people started to respond, started singing unaccompanied, praying, and encountering God in a new and fresh way. They found a new perspective. They recentered themselves on Jesus. They realized, consciously, intentionally, that it was all about Jesus. Worship is all about Jesus, and it demands a response from the heart. And they eventually reintroduced music and the other elements, but with this new perspective. And the song, When the Music Fades by Matt Redman, was Matt Redman's response to what was happening. So in secular speak, Soul Survivor was pulling the crowds, it was putting bums on seats, it was getting the money in, it was a great success. But there was that nagging doubt. This wasn't what God was calling them to. So Mike Pilavachi took an active response in faith. A passive response would have been to carry on as they were. It was working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But they took the brave decision to step out in faith. We don't know what might have happened if they hadn't done that. But we know what's happened since they did step out in faith. Yeah, we don't know what would have happened if they hadn't stepped out in faith. It's exciting to be invited to be part of God's eternal story. And who knows what he'll do through you, or you, or you, or you, or me. You know, sometimes we look at heroes of faith, like those in Hebrews 11, or the likes of St. Francis, or Charles Wesley, or Mother Teresa, or Hudson Taylor, or even Jackie Pullinger, or Pete Gregg, and we compare ourselves unfavorably. But they're just people like you and I, with faults like you and I. But they were, or are, faithful, obeyed, and let God work in and through them. What might God be asking you to do for this generation and for the future? What might he be asking you to change, to give up, or take on? And how are you going to step into each day from now on? Let's choose to be people of faith, daily walking with God, daily praying with God, daily reading our Bibles, daily celebrating the truth of God's promises and the resurrection in words and actions that give glory to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the band up. Let's pray now. Just like a response in prayer, please. And I'd love to take your question afterwards. Heavenly Father, we come to you in and through Jesus Christ, your Son. And because of your deep and great love to us and for us, Lord, you know the struggles that each of us have each day. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to decide to step out with you, to step into the adventure with you, to walk with you, to be part of your story, your eternal story, and to do something in our generation that echoes in eternity. We thank you, Lord, for the excitement and the joy of being invited into your family, of being called to be your children. And may our response to you, Lord, be one in joyful and living faith. In Jesus' name, amen.